Hi everyone, thanks for coming. My name's Craig. I am, among other things, a member of Collective Action. Really like this, isn't it?
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I feel like Obama or something. Get a nice eagle down here. So I'm in Collective Action, and this kind of follows on from the last session. In particular, so the last session outlined the life of Bakunin and Makhno and sort of the ideas and the legacy that they sort of spawned, if you like. So with this presentation, what I want to do is I want to tackle the idea that that anarchism is, anarchist communism specifically, is a sort of romantic, impulsive, otherwise poetic sort of theory or collection of ideas. And I want to try and situate this in the current situation in the UK. So first of all, I'll begin with sort of identifying the problem as I see it. And then I'm going to run through some sort of key political concepts or ideas which are central to specificism. And specificism is a branch of anarchist communism, and that's what Collective Action is sort of involved with, a regroupment project. So I'm going to run through sort of the current sort of presence problem, the social and political levels, organisational dualism and what that means. I'll give an outline of specificism and the specific anarchist organisation, and lastly I'll talk about social insertion as social strategy. Okay. So, the problem. So, the 2008 economic crisis sort of came, and we're still living with the aftermath now. Now, anarchists weren't ready for this, and I would argue that they failed to capitalise on the situation. And partly I'd say this has been due to certain organisational and political problems within the anarchist movement, in particular issues of efficiency and basically getting your shit together, and also sort of there being a variety of conflicting positions and a lack of debate between these positions as well. It seemed that at the moment, and also for a while, the anarchist movement has been happy to just kind of exist, and I'd argue this is problematic given that we're in an economic situation which lends itself to sort of intensify class struggle. So I'd argue that social work needs to be more organised, anarchist militants need to be more responsible. This basically means making sure that militants across the country are on the same page, and also taking seriously our opportunities to further ideas and also be relevant to the class more broadly. I argue that we need to reclaim the social vector of anarchism. So historically, anarchist communism has been a socially engaged praxis. It has become, however, a sort of countercultural scene. And I'd argue that currently anarchist communism isn't relevant to the lives of most people, which is a problem. I come to numerous book fairs all around the year and see so many of the same faces and not many new faces, which I think is a shame. So in this sense, I think anarchist ideas often kind of live in a little world of their own, and don't interact very well with what most people in society see as the real problems and real politics. And I'd argue that our ideas should constantly be updated from our interactions in social movements and our experiences as militants. With all this in mind, Collective Action set up as a regroupment project to offer a chance to do all of this, to revisit the tradition, and also to assess what we've learned from our sort of collective many years in various struggles. Okay, so first term, social and political levels. So the social level is understood really as the sort of bread and butter issues. It's the level at which people across society are generally engaged with political issues when they're not just sort of worrying about their lives and the school run and getting to work on time. So, for example, in a current context, you know, things like the bedroom tax or welfare reform, and also workplace issues as well. The political level represents the level at which theory is expressed by revolutionaries. And I'd argue that this should exist relationally to the social. Without a clear connection to the social level, then I think the political level has a tendency to just exist on its own in a bubble. So this is a level of political organising, theory, political association. It's a level at which we consider strategy, propaganda, etc. So, organisational dualism. So, organisational dualism has its roots in Bakunin and Malatesta, and it represents two different levels. So, the ideas here are taken from Bakunin when he refers to mass movements, which is a level at which we actually apply ideas within society to encourage social change. And Malatesta's idea, problematically named, I know, but Malatesta's idea of the party, which he doesn't envisage as an electoral party, but it's the level at which we associate as anarchists. So the idea in distinguishing between the two is that we recognise that for most people, political organising and political discussion, I mean, this is not something that takes part in everyday life and can often be alienating. The idea is that we're not interested in selling ideology. It's not about going around and making everybody an anarchist communist. People don't tend to be involved with numerous projects, for example, like I'm sure we all are. So in that sense, we do need to appreciate that as militants or as revolutionaries, we're not the norm. And what we want to connect with is people who, well, are the norm. So I'm going to talk firstly about the political level and organisation for anarchists at this level, and then also the social level and how anarchist communists seek to influence that level. Okay, so first I'll talk about specificism. So specificism can be summarised as a need for a specifically anarchist organisation. Now, this is built through a unity of ideas and praxis, and it's a space for us to associate as militants. Probably key proponents of this at the moment are FARJ, which is the Anarchist Federation of Rio de Janeiro. And the purpose of the specific anarchist organisation is to develop strategy and theory. Specificism encourages the active participation in autonomous and popular social movements through direct involvement, and this was done through a strategy called social insertion, as we'll see shortly. So, the specific anarchist organisation, so this is the level at which anarchist militants come together to plan their activity and develop their sort of unity of ideas and praxis. So the specific anarchist organisation is focused on social work and social insertion. It's about the production and reproduction of theory. It's about generating anarchist propaganda. It's about the conception and implementation of strategy, and it's also about resource management. So this is the kind of level, you know, I guess what I kind of want to get at is that, you know, we operate, we have to sort of recognise that, you know, what we do is as militants, and, you know, coming together even in meetings like this isn't like a normal thing to do. And I think that we need to, you know, given that we're militants together, we need to come together around a sort of unified practice. So I come to social insertion. So social insertion is concerned with direct participation in social struggles, whether that's community campaigns, workplace struggles, or developing new struggles in you know, your local areas. And it's really about working within, and you can do this through intermediary tendency groupings such as you know, unions or a local campaign or a libertarian tendency. And it means taking over, not taking over, leading struggles, but working within those struggles. So social insertion is not about trying to form front groups. It's not about trying to be disingenuous about politics, but it's recognising that you know, people have... So you know, we operate at the level of being... anarchist communists, and we want to influence broader society, and people have many sort of conflicting ideas, and you know, be various campaigns that focus on specific issues, and the idea here is that you get involved, and instead of sort of dragging from the front, you're sort of gently kicking from behind in more egalitarian libertarian directions. So this is a quote from the Fudge, who I mentioned earlier. Specific anarchist organisation interacts with social movements seeking to influence them to have the most libertarian and egalitarian forms possible. Although we treat anarchism and social movements as different levels of activity, we believe there's a relationship of mutual influence between the two. So as I said earlier, the social and the political levels, the political level should always exist relationally to the social level. Going back to the problem that I outlined at the beginning, I think that currently that's not the case, and too often political theory and political ideas are not engaged with what's happening in social life, and that's what needs to be recaptured. And that's it. Any questions?
So is it a general kind of part of the thing that was it well, you know, being involved in struggles, it is generally, it's sort of solely as a part of it, as a wide thing, rather than trying to, say, pick a sort of, just working within some struggles that are already going on, rather than, say, particularly trying to start one, say, if there's an issue that maybe isn't being addressed, or have I got that right, or is it just about itself?
No, it's both. I mean, obviously it depends on capacity. So, for example, I talk from my own experience. You know, involved with workplace struggles through intermediary, you know, sort of organisations, if you like, such as the IWW. But I'm also involved in creating new campaigns in my local area around welfare reform and bedroom tax through Plan C. So it can be either, but the idea is that it's about genuinely getting involved in something. It's not this kind of entryist strategy of you know, Trojan horse and the rest of it. It's about being honest, but it's about having a certain generosity when you come to a campaign. So you know, if I'm at a meeting about welfare reform, you know, there might be people there from the church or people from all walks of life. It's how do we as anarchist communists relate to that, and how do we make sure that the campaigns that we're going to be involved in that are around issues which are we believe are, you know, central to class struggle, how do we make sure that they're libertarian in form and can be as communistic as possible? Yes?
I just threw a few ideas and you can clarify, hopefully. I thought it was really good, actually. I think you know, you're definitely wrestling with the right ideas in my mind, anyway. But I'm thinking, what are the obstacles to all this? What's stopping the emergence of this? Well, call it a revolutionary organisation, but okay. I think you could equally call it a party. Yeah? I mean, you know, the word party does not denote an organ of government or an electoral organ, yeah? So you could call it a revolutionary party if you want. Now, if you want to call it organisation, that's up to you, yeah? But essentially, what is stopping this from emerging? What is preventing it? And I think really it's because the ideas that you talk about, yes? You know, they're not agreed upon, are they? Problem, for example, let's take, I don't know, the trade unions. You know, what is your position on the trade unions? You know, let's you know, whatever other set of ideas that we need to agree upon, they are not generally agreed upon. I remember class war, for example. You know, the group class war. supporting the IRA. Yeah, definitely supporting the NUM. Yeah, I think that the obstacle to what you're doing is that there are no agreed upon positions, or the positions that you could agree upon would exclude many people who call themselves anarchists.
Okay, so in terms of the party thing, I think it's important to not fetishise the form over the content. So I don't really mind what it's called, you know, me personally, but, you know, if it's libertarian and communistic in content, then that's good enough for me. In terms of obstacles, so I think a big obstacle, and this has been part of the problem of the response of anarchists to, say, the global economic situation. There's been a problem that, yeah, we've got this kind of broad umbrella that sort of embraces sort of lifestyleism and forms of anarchism which are not class struggle, for example. And there's also a lot of sort of anti-intellectual currents, I'd argue. So, you know, when we've got something like a global economic crisis, we need to be getting to grips with the actual problems at hand and how this is really affecting people in their lives. So I think that's a big problem. So, you know, I think that it is an effort that needs to be made in order to understand what's happening economically. Unfortunately, we don't live in like a garden outside capitalism, and we have to know how to fight from inside the situation that we live in. In terms of sort of agreed upon positions, well, the specific anarchist organisation has agreed upon positions and seeks to get anarchist communist militants, and that's the key point as well, that it's not sort of a membership body. It's not about anyone who kind of agrees. It's really about people who are similarly active and similarly committed to the politics, and, you know, agree from that position of coherency, and then can move out into broader campaigns. And obviously that means that, you know, we'll be involved with things and projects where people do have various conflicting ideas, and that's very much at the heart of, you know, what we're trying to strategize around, because it's not about selling ideology, it's not about making everyone the same kind of person, the same politics, but it's about realizing that, you know, people are involved in various campaigns, and how can we make those campaigns reflective of sort of libertarian communist values. Does that answer your question?
I don't think so. I'm thinking, you know, if you've got a group of anarchists who, for example, would argue that the trade unions are positive and they are useful for the working class, and if you get another group of anarchists who argue that trade unions are in fact appendages of capitalism and a pillar of management, you're creating division, aren't you? Yeah. As soon as you put out a position, you're creating division. Yeah. And you're either in or you're out. You're with us or outside of us. And I was wondering, you know, how you would, how do you arrive at your decisions? You know, who decides who's right? Who decides? How does this organisation work?
Are you talking about collective action specifically, or as in the specific?
Well, let's take two examples. Yeah, I will say that the trade unions are totally reactionary and they serve no useful purpose for the working class. And let's say hypothetically that you disagree with that position. Yeah. What is the mechanism for coming to an agreement? How do we sort all this out?
Well, it's not about trying to get every anarchist in the room to agree. That's not the project. Project is about making anarchist and communist politics relevant to the class. So actually, I'd be in that situation, I'd be less bothered about what you think and more bothered about what my fellow workers think. So on the issue of unions, for example, like I'm not pro-union, but I accept that in my workplace, a lot of you know, workmates will be in unions, and that will be an obvious place to meet workers and get involved. And so I think really whatever praxis, whatever theory we adopt has to be related directly to our experiences at the social level. So I don't think it's very helpful to for us only to kind of, well, what do you agree, what do I agree? Well, it's also about seeing what works, what doesn't work, and having that open-mindedness.
I'm still not seeing how you're overcoming what is already on the ground, you know, the fragmentation to different organisations, you know, that exists already.
I'm going to take a stab.
Let's talk about the Marxists out there as well. You know, we're in the book fair there as well. You know, they've all got different ideas. You know, what to me the obstacle is. You know, we've all got different ideas and we can't come together because of the different ideas. You know, so how do we sort out all these differences? How do we come together and create an effective revolution force?
I would say three things in answer to that. The first is that we don't necessarily conceptualise the problem as left unity. It's fair to emphasise left unity, but I accept that left unity is an issue on some level. Like, fragmented groups can practically do less than united groups. But we've written about left unity, and our position on left unity always has to be that unity is meaningless unless it has content. So for us, it's unity on a certain basis. So the fragmentation is of less concern unless there was a real genuine project that had political content that was out there that we're somehow not able to achieve. Now, I think there's a lot of confusion amongst many left groups and amongst many anarchist groups, and I don't think we're 100% right. I'm not repeating that practice, which a lot of left groups don't. But I think a lot of the mistakes do emerge from a kind of confusion about the social and political level. And this particular framework of looking at the social and political level as separate things, I think has clarifies our thought in ways that other anarchist groups don't adopt that. So I think that's why you get this kind of muddled thinking on certain issues. I guess unity is an important construct, but it's not something that we'd emphasise as a primary thing, because the more important thing to us, as Craig's already kind of said, is about how those ideas can grow within the class. And that kind of, that would, my final point would be that I think actually the real basis for the left unity is the existence of constructive work within the class, which is almost entirely absent at the moment. Now, this is something that's also part of collective action's politics, but isn't really discussed in this presentation. But there has been a slow, gradual estrangement of the left, the organised left, from working class communities. And working class communities is not the natural base of left politics anymore, or anarchist politics. And I think actually going back to that constructive work would be a far better way of cultivating an atmosphere of unity than necessarily debate and deliberation in itself. You know, there's already a calendar of left events that happens every year where everyone goes and sits in the room and talks about how they need unity, and then they all go away again to come back next year. What we need is like constructive work within the class. And I think that needs to be more, at this point, particularly given the terrain we're in, that needs to be more experimental and more open-minded. Because I don't think any of us have any answers about how we fight the cuts, how we deal with the recession, how we deal with the collapse of radical thought. Like, so I think we need to be more open-minded about that process. But to me, that's the area in which unity occurs.
Any more questions?
Just to follow that up, I mean, my experience of this is quite limited, I would admit, but I think that here and outside the room amongst the left generally, we're all in agreement that we're fighting for, or we're desirous of, some nebulous concept like social justice. I mean, we all think that that's a good thing, you can't be against that. But in practical terms, all of this is great and it's fantastic, and would that it was this the case. But I guess, like, following up on the point, is that frequently I've been in discussions with specific case studies about social justice related, for example, to opposition to or against austerity, against the cut. And what sometimes seems to happen is that the anarchists who are there don't neatly dovetail with the desires amongst the left for, I suppose, kind of organised action. That there's an antithesis on occasion that gets into heated discussion, that people aren't necessarily against social justice, but in specific case studies or specific examples, the anarchists reject the routes towards action and activity that the people in the left generally want. I'm probably not making myself very clear.
So what do you mean about sort of anarchists rejecting, say, organisation or that kind of thing?
Yeah, that this is all very well kind of in practice, and we all agree that what we want is a better society and a fairer society, but I've been in discussions where, kind of on the ground, in the room, there's wildly divergent opinions about how that might best be the case, and that often that in itself leads to splintering. And I suppose that's the follow-up point about organisation and unity, is that there's not necessarily in practice an overlap between fighting for social justice in a leftist sense and in an anti-austerity sense and in a battling neoliberalism sense, and the means by which that campaign is kind of put into action on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that imbalance between kind of theory and practice that I see on the ground happening, and where discussions seem to fall apart in that sense.
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree. So, you know, I and the ideas presented in this presentation are very openly organisationalist, and I think again the point about constructive work, sort of, you know, on the ground, if you like, comes up again here. I've seen it many times myself. You know, the things that you're describing. The purpose of us having a specific anarchist organisation is that it doesn't try to do that social work itself. It's that the people within it are involved with various campaigns that do the social work. And so, I'm not answering this question very clearly. Basically, I think that I agree that it's a problem that a lot of people will reject, for example, like organisational forms. That is a big problem, but I think where there are, various campaigns or, group activities going on, it's responsibility of anarchists to take positions of influence within that, so that we can try and steer those things in a libertarian communist direction.
I mean, virtually nobody can say that they're against social justice because it's such a nebulous term. We all want a better way of living. That's why we're all here and why we're all in the organisations to begin with. I guess the means by which that happens, people find themselves suddenly in a situation where, presented with a mechanism whereby that can be achieved, they suddenly find that their beliefs prevent them from engaging with that belief. So they feel themselves, that they've got themselves trapped and they can't do the work that would enable that to come about.
Which is why I think it's really important that there's the process of regroupment kind of never finishes. There's a constant re-evaluation. And the important thing is that, you know, when we're involved with social struggles, this political level isn't static at all. As I said on the slide earlier, it's constantly relational to social struggle. And so actually, there will be times when you think, yeah, that idea that we all agreed upon, it doesn't work. Like, you know, it's not going to happen. So when you think, well, what does work? And it is a case of being open-minded and also pragmatic to some extent, because it's about sort of meeting the class where it's at, so to speak. And I don't think it's very helpful to come along with sort of, this is my great vision of social justice and this is how we're going to get there. And actually, it's completely removed from people's lives or any sort of social context. So I completely agree there has to be a constant two-way conversation between constructive work that's happening on the social level and also the theorising, propaganda and association discussions that are going on within the political level as well. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. We got there eventually. It's been a long day. Yes?
I'm assuming that you already have a revolution organisation. You belong to a revolution organisation already.
I belong to Collective Action.
How does it work then? What I'm trying to get at is, why should people team up with you and not Solfed or the Commune or the Anarchist Federation that are already on the ground? You know, why? What is the difference? What are you offering that they're not offering?
For a start, people are welcome to join what they like, obviously. I think the politics of Collective Action are very different to the politics of, say, Solidarity Federation. Solidarity Federation, well, there's a debate. I don't want to get into, petty disagreements.
Major ones,
then. For example, Anarchist Federation, Solidarity Federation are broad umbrella organisations, mass membership organisations, who are open to anyone who agrees with the broad aims and principles. Collective Action, we're a specific anarchist organisation, but we've been through a years-long process of regroupment that we're nearly finishing. The purpose of Collective Action is, we've all been in, but we were all in Anarchist Federation. So it's not like, we just sort of come out of nowhere. We've been involved with things for years. And we've been growing frustrated with the inability of these organisations to react in ways which are promoting libertarian communism on the ground. And so the project has been to evaluate that and to see where we've gone wrong in the past as individuals and as the anarchist movement, and where ideas have failed us, as at the back right said, and to reevaluate that and adopt inquiries into the position of the class and the composition of the class at present, and how we as anarchist communists can engage to develop influence and support for those ideas, and basically recapture this social vector and make anarchist communism relevant to people and make it an engaged praxis again. So the way we operate in Collective Action is that we're not a mass membership organisation. It's about coherency, quality rather than quantity, so to speak. It's about we want to have a degree of coherency, so we're in the process of developing certain position papers and things, which are not static or binding in any sense. It's a bit like, you're familiar with WSM in Ireland. WSM in Ireland, Worker Solidarity Movement, they're affiliated to Anarchismo, who, as I said in the previous presentation, we have quite a strong affinity to. There are various position papers on things that they've collectively agreed upon, but they're not static at all. They're more for reference, and obviously with social struggles changing and situations augmenting, they'll be revisited and changed. And the idea is that as anarchist communist militants, we can associate together, share ideas and pool ideas, but then all of us will be involved with various other tendency groupings or campaigns or unions, etc., where struggle is happening. And so the idea is that we're not, it's always to be active, it's never to be involved in something just for the sake of it. So Collective Action only operates and exists at the level that we are all anarchist communist militants who are presently engaged in various struggles, and it's a point of reference for us to come together and update those theories and those ideas based upon the constructive social work that we've been doing. So in that sense, it's different from a mass membership organisation, because we don't just have an open door policy and say, come join us if you vaguely describe yourself as an anarchist, and then we as collective action are going to go out and do this campaign. What it rather is that people, come to us, and people will have to, will agree with the position papers and our general strategy, and will also be active. And so the idea is never to have inactive membership at all. And I think that's also a problem that I found within AF, for example, was that there was an active core and then a largely inactive periphery. I could do a whole other presentation on this, but we run on a Bakuninist model of concentric circles. So the idea is that whatever you feel able to commit, that will be demanded of you, and so it's constantly making people be active, only as active as you choose, of course, but the idea is that you never have a completely inactive member of the association, because there's no point to it. But people can join, for example, as supporters, and as supporters then your base commitment is to make yourselves familiar with position papers, etc. But then, for example, if you're going to be a full member, then more activity is required, and decision making forums will include you. So we also what's distinguishable as well is that we reject consensus decision making on the basis that we found it to be quite authoritarian in the past, because what happened is a lot of people come together for one thing, will agree collectively on a proposal, and then it will be left to that active minority to actually take up the proposal, and most people who agreed it in the first place won't be there to carry out the work. And so the idea with collective action is to minimise inactivity and create productivity, and that's basically it.
Sorry, it's because I don't know anything about you. So all these positions that you mentioned, is it position papers? I can't remember what you said.
We have position papers, yeah.
Yeah, so are they available in the book fair?
We've got various pamphlets in the book fair, which are an assortment of ideas on different things. So we've got things about Bakunin, and we've got a debate published for the first time in English on it's a debate on trade unions from three different perspectives about worker autonomy. But the position papers that we're developing, as I say, we're still going through this process of regroupment and haven't quite come out the other side yet. So you'll be able to find more stuff on our website, and we've got more things in the pipework which will be coming out over the summer.
What I said initially, I think, I found it quite, it's quite favourable to the idea, because you're actually trying to crystallise and set out precise ideas, which is, and then pass these precise ideas to the working class, which I think is a necessity. I think that is, that's what is required.
That's it. But it's not to be prescriptive. It's that as anarchist communist militants, then we're all on the same page, basically, rather than being in a situation where, I say, well, I'm going to do this because I'm a syndicalist, and so I say, well, I'm an insurrectionist, so I'm going to burn stuff, because it's not helpful to be disunited on that level. So it's about having the theoretical and practical unity, but it's about when we do engage with the class, having analysed the sort of composition of the class, it's also about taking those ideas back and constantly amending, constantly updating. And so part of the activity is also about having this sense of analysis that we analyse what we've been doing, where we've been going wrong, how can we better it. And we have this point of reference within the specific anarchist organisation where, you know, we're smattered all around the country, so people can say, well, this has been working where in the campaign I've been involved in, this has been working here, there, wherever. Yes?
Just because anyone who's been involved in any social movements will have someone come up to them and say, well, how would you like to join the SWP or some other obscure Trotskyist organisation? Do you have any particular attitude to that, or do you say, forget about them, just get on with it?
Do I have any attitude to the SWP, or do I have any attitude to that recruitment strategy?
Organisations like the SWP that can be quite a big turn off to people in these movements. So do you think that's something that needs to be a specific response to, or?
I wouldn't say a specific response to. I generally think the best strategy with the SWP is to ignore them. But okay, that's unhelpful. So to clarify, I think that this, for a start, the kind of recruitment, membership, selling the ideology thing is bad. For me, I think separating the social and political levels enables us to get clarity on these ideas. So the Socialist Workers Party, you know, the vision really is to create a mass party which will go out and make everyone a socialist. I think that's unrealistic to think that, you know, so a socialist communist society, every single person is going to be a communist. We live in a capitalist society, not everyone's a capitalist. But it's about you know, being involved. This is the thing as well with the SWP, is that they're involved with, say, front groups, for example, which they very much lead from the front, and it's about their politics, and it's about taking an issue and then leading it with their politics, that, you know, having their own perspective on it, rather than getting involved with genuine campaigns which are already happening, however imperfect they might be, and getting involved with those campaigns, you know, because your desire is for, you know, betterment of the class and for libertarian communism, not because your desire is more influence for your party. So instead of trying to gain influence for the party, it's actually about entering into a campaign because you want the best outcome, but how we can nudge, if you like, that campaign towards libertarian communistic ideas, and, you know, get people working with that mindset. And obviously, if it doesn't work, then you need to be able to go back to the political level and say, actually, we were talking a load of shit. How do we reassess our ideas?
I think you've sort of answered the question. I mean, if you're involved in kind of sort of like a group like United Against Fascism, would you say try and push that group towards a more libertarian, a group like that towards a libertarian outlook, or maybe that was a bad example? And if there are people like from the SWP or a similar organisation, do you just ignore them and do what you want to do anyway?
Okay, sorry, I see what you're saying. US probably a bad example,
yes,
because I don't really see what social work they do. But say, for example, so in I know for a fact that to use a sort of local example, in Leeds currently there's a campaign called Hands Off Our Homes. It's largely about the bedroom tax, and it's had many hundreds of people involved in it, of all different groupings or none. Actually, it's been predominantly. Pigs come to get us. It's been predominantly residents. I think that you're never going to come into a campaign you're never going to come into a campaign where, you know, everyone's got the same politics as you. Of course not. And you might get weirdos, and you might get people with deeply problematic politics like the SWP, but it's about how do we, you know, you want the campaign to have a good outcome for the class, and it's about being focused on that. So, you know, I've known, for example, individual members of the SWP who've been okay,
yeah,
largely because they completely went against the party line and then were later expelled. But I think the idea of social insertion is that, you know, whoever you're having to engage with, you're trying to push things in the more libertarian, the communist direction. That's the principle. And I've been in situations myself where, you know, you've been trying involved in you know, these sort of genuine movements, and they've, you know, people have tried to co-opt them. Of course, in that situation, you have to, you know, speak to the people around you and do the same, try and push things in a more libertarian direction, question the whether or not we need a steering committee with all AWL members on it or whatever. Yes.
Sorry, an example.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
I was involved in the, many other people in this room might have been as well, but I was involved, it's a good illustration, I was involved in the student occupation movement. And that obviously brought together a lot of factions, as well as a lot of students, unorganized students. And I think one of the best things that kind of the various anarchists that were involved in that did is basically push for certain forms and certain content that the assembly stood for. So rather than the SWP comes along and has its particular platform that you want to vote in, and then every other faction has its own little line that it wants to vote in, say, okay, well, for us, in practice, anarchism means certain things. It doesn't mean ideas necessarily, it means certain practices. So let's make the assemblies politically independent. Let's have everything voted on the mass assembly and not steering committee. Let's engage in community outreach. Now, these are things that any socialist, if they genuinely are socialists, should stand behind, but they embody anarchist communist ideas without going, this is the anarchist communist position. And I think that's, in terms of those community groups, as obviously that's, students are easy to organise, so it's an easy example, but that's the kind of line you want to tread, I think.
Our time's up, I'm afraid. Thank you all for coming, and as Chris said earlier, we'll be hovering around the CA store downstairs if you've got any more questions or want to talk to us or dispute everything we said. It's all fine. Thank you very much.
Will our presentation? Yeah, we'll probably put it on Facebook.
I think we'll put it on our Facebook page.
The audio, we're being recorded, so we'll put up audio and notes and stuff as well.
Sorry. Yeah, we'll get someone to do that. I'm not very savvy with that sort of thing. I didn't even make this. Someone else made it. I just say that. Like, I spoke it, someone else wrote it. It's teamwork, collaborative. Cheers.